Brilliant. Morning, everybody. If you're feeling a bit chilly, you might want to snuggle up closer to somebody else if you're sat on your own. It is quite cool this morning. But it's great to be together, isn't it? And great to be in the God's presence, worshipping Him and just enjoying all that is and all that that means. We have been talking a lot lately about blessed, to be a blessing. And we spent quite a bit of time recently looking at how we are transformed and how we've got to have a transformed life and how God has really blessed us. He's made us brand new. We're eternally blessed. We have a purpose. We have a belonging. We're empowered. We're gifted. We are a really blessed people. But because we are a blessed people, we are a blessing to the world around us. And that this whole thing about blessed to be a blessing is something that God is challenging us in this season, in Ashwood, in our lives, in what we're doing, to really get hold of that truth that because we're blessed, we are a blessing to the world around us. And actually, we're called to make a difference, aren't we? We're called to change our world. That's one of the reasons why we're here. We are called to change the world. And our mission is helping people find and follow Jesus. Again, we talk a lot about that because we want to keep that fresh. We want to keep that fresh in our minds and in our focus that God has called us to help people find and follow Jesus. Sometimes that can be quite a daunting prospect, can't it? Sometimes it can be, you know, when you're out on your own and you're thinking, well, how do I actually do that? How do I help people find and follow Jesus? And sometimes we look around at other people who are just doing such a great job of it and we think, well, how do I do it? They seem to do it so well. Well, this is where blessed to be a blessing begins to really fit in, because of who we are in God and because of and what God's done in us. We are able and equipped to do that, helping people find and follow Jesus. But everything has a starting point. Where do we start with all of that? Well, we're going to spend a little bit of time over the next few weeks looking at how to bless the world around us. And just to give you a little bit of a taster of what we've coming up, we might not necessarily be bringing food in on that way, you see, but bless, begin in prayer, listen, eat, serve, share your story. We'll unpack more of that over the next few weeks, but this morning we're going to begin by beginning in prayer. It all begins in prayer. Do you know, we recognize that prayer is so important in what we do. And that's why we are in the middle of this season, Stir It Up. We recognize that we need to be stirred in our prayer life so that we can make a difference. It is so important. We recognize that prayer is vital in our mission of helping people find and follow Jesus. So what is prayer? I guess we've all got different experiences and would share different places of where we're at with prayer and how our relationship with God in prayer has developed over the years. I know as a boy, my parents instilled to me that it was important, it was an important pattern to follow, that every night after I'd had my supper, after I put my pajamas on, and after I'd had my story, that we would say prayers. That's what we called it. Right, we're going to say prayers now. And it was a good discipline to have. That the last thing of the day, I would spend time saying my prayers. But in my immature mind, I recognised that it was important. But I remember thinking, you know, it would be a whole lot easier if I actually sat down, wrote a prayer out that covered all the main things, and then I can just say it because actually I'm tired, and that's, you know, sometimes the story was quite good and I want to think about that. But actually, if I say the prayer, I can be thinking about everything else, multitasking, wham, bam, brilliant, I can go to bed. Problem with that is I'm not really connecting with what I'm doing. It's kind of an easy get out. I remember reading another story about another boy who similar kind of thing was instilled. And he was saying his prayers one night. And he went through, he thanked God for this, he prayed about something. And as he was getting to the end, he shouted, "By the way, God, what I want for Christmas is..." And he said what he wanted for Christmas. And his mother said to him, "That was a very nice prayer, dear, but there's no need to shout. God's not deaf." And he said, "Yeah, I know, but Grandma is." And again, there's a misconception that sometimes we will pray, but our expectation is that the answer will come not from God. Now, don't get me wrong. God will often, more often than not perhaps, use us and each other as the answer to our prayers. That's what being church is. It's what being part of the body of Christ is on earth. You know, we can expect to find answers to prayer through each other. But sometimes we try and get the answer not from God, but we put our trust in other sources. When we look at the Bible and when we see the biblical patterns of people's prayer lives, what we actually see is that true prayer is a two-way dynamic communication with God. It's not one way. It's not at God. It's a two-way thing. It's not a static activity that we just pass the time with, or a ritual that we just do to tick off and say we've done it. It's good to have the discipline. It's good to make sure that we put that discipline in our lives, that we make sure that we do pray and that we do those things. But we have to watch that it doesn't just become a static activity. And you know, things change. Things happen when we pray. Great encouragement this morning to hear how Rita's doing. Still a long way to go. Still need a lot of prayer. But we've prayed, and by all accounts, she is far exceeding what the world would expect her to do and to be in the place that she's in. And that is because we prayed. It's really important when we pray to be honest. We need to be honouring, and we need to be respectful in our honesty, but it's important to be honest. Again, just before I became a Christian, as part of my journey, when I actually thought I probably was a Christian, I prayed things that I thought that sounded like the right way to pray. I prayed things that perhaps I thought God wanted to hear. I tried to be the perfect prayer. And it wasn't actually until I started being honest with God about what I thought and about the things I struggled with that actually God could connect with me. Because if we're not honest with God, it puts up barriers to hearing what he has to say and for him to be able to speak into our lives. Do you know, when we look through the Word of God, what we see is that prayer was the foundation for everything major that happened. And that included Jesus. What we see in the life of Jesus was he was a man of prayer. And if we look through history and through church history, when we see big revivals and big moves of God and big things that people have done and achieved in his name, what we see is that that was preceded by a time that people prayed. People sought God and they prayed. And that's really important in the context of what we're thinking about being blessed to be a blessing. about how we can help people find and follow Jesus. It is so important that we immerse ourselves in prayer, and that that is the starting point. That is the beginning point. So have a look in Colossians 4. Verse 2-4, just a few verses. And this is Paul talking. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And it's just a few verses that Paul's beginning to wrap up this letter. And he's putting a few general thoughts in as he does that. And he says, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote. You know, there's an importance there. That word devote underlines how important it is that it's not just something that we do that we can tick off, but actually devoting ourselves to prayer makes that a really important, purpose-filled part of how we approach prayer. Therefore, prayer is so significant. And in the same breath of that sentence, he says, be watchful and thankful. Interesting, isn't it? Because it's almost like he's saying, well, you know, if you're in a prayerful attitude, if you're in a prayerful context, then your watchfulness is going to be more effective. And you're going to see more things to be thankful from because you've got your mind in the right context. I love the fact that he asks them to pray for him. This is the great Paul the Apostle, who has been used and is being used by God in such amazing, incredible ways. And he says to this group of people, listen, I really want you to pray for me. I value your prayer for me. And he asks them to pray for his mission, for what he's doing. He also makes some personal requests about how he wants needs that he wants them to pray over. He recognizes that prayer makes a difference, and he values it, and he's going to get it anywhere and everywhere he can. It wasn't just a nice thing to build them up. Oh, I'll ask them to pray for me. That'll make them feel good. No, he's saying, look, I can do great things for God, but I need prayer. I need prayer. You need prayer. He then goes on to give some general instructions about living. Really good advice. Really good counsel. Really good. But all of that, that little passage, all starts with prayer. Do you know, we have the power to change our world because of Jesus. We have everything that we need to change our world. But to change our world, to be world changers, first of all, we need to be changed ourselves. We need to be blessed so that we can bless others. Dave Smith says this, he makes this prayer statement, Lord, change me, Lord, change my world. Let's have a think about those couple of statements for a few moments. First of all, Lord, change me. If you're going to be changed, if I'm going to be changed, then I need to spend time with the one who's going to change me. What influences us? What are the kind of things that influence our thinking, influence what we do, influence how we behave? if we want to be changed into the likeness of Jesus, so that we are better at changing our world, then we need to spend more time with him. That was a really great picture that Eric brought us about the Queen. Thank you for bringing that, Eric. That was brilliant. And just that sense of the glory of God. And if you spend time in God's presence, that rubs off. But I saw that program as well earlier this week. And I was just reflecting. I quite like history. I quite like watching documentaries and things. And what I've noted about the Queen and about royalty in general is that they might be born an heir to the throne, but actually they need to be trained. And the king spent time investing in his daughter while he was alive, because he knew that she would one day take his place. And she didn't just sort of hang around waiting for the day and then rock up and great, she's done a fantastic job as sovereign of our nation. And she has conducted herself so well. But she had foundations because she spent time with the king before she took up that role. There's a good parallel there, isn't there? We need to spend time with the king. We need to spend time being trained by him and being influenced by him, so that when we go out, we carry that authority that he has in us. Do you know, prayer is the place where truth becomes reality. You know, we know that the word of God is powerful and changes lives and makes a difference because it's God's word. But actually, if we leave it in the book, it's not going to do an awful lot. It's when we take the word of God and live it that it makes the difference. But it's actually in prayer, it's actually in the time that we spend with God, that we really get hold of the word of God. And it's where the truth really becomes reality. It's where what's in our head gets joined to what's in our heart and our spirit. Because we're in a place where God will reveal the truth of his word to us. It's also a place where we can swap all of our inadequacies for all of his sufficiency. You know, I said we've got all the power that we need to change the world. But that power is God's power. The people who are empowered and walking with God are the ones that change the world. Do you know, Jesus didn't change the world without the power of the Holy Spirit. And in Luke 3:21, it says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was being baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. Jesus' lifestyle was a lifestyle of prayer. He recognized that in order to do the will of his Father, he needed to spend time with him. He needed to spend time connecting with him, and he needed to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. That was his pattern. And if that was his pattern for life, then so much more it needs to be our pattern. We also need to be guided. We constantly need direction, and we need wisdom, and we need to know how to go about changing the world for him. We need help. In Acts 10, we won't read it now because it's quite a lengthy passage, but if you get a chance to over the next week, then do. But it's the story of Peter and Cornelius. And it all starts with Peter praying in private on the roof of a house somewhere, as was his pattern. He made time to pray. And he, whilst he was praying, God gave him a vision. Won't unpack it all now. But the culture of that day was that Jews and Gentiles didn't mix. They didn't spend time with each other. And in verse 28, where Peter meets with Cornelius in Cornelius's house, says this: "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean." And you know, that is an amazing moment in history, because that is a moment where the Jews and the Gentiles and the divide between them was just broken. God's plan was to have relationship with all of mankind. He didn't differentiate between Jew and Gentile. And it was because Peter was praying that gave him the guidance, the knowledge to know that God wanted him to bring the two together, that changed history. Fantastic. Do you know, if you want to pray a prayer that will change you and will see God move through you in others, then try this one. Lord, who do you want me to bless? Who do you want to bless through me today? Lord, who do you want to bless through me today? When we allow ourselves to be changed and to pray prayers like this, then it actually, not only does it enable God to give us the opportunities to do that, but it also changes our spiritual mindset. Because if we start praying, Lord, who do you want to bless through me today? Then we start to have an expectation that God is going to put people in our path that we can bless. How many people like receiving gifts? And how many people like giving gifts? It's great, isn't it? It's a great feeling to give a gift, especially when that gift is well received and people are really chuffed to bits with it. It's great. Well, how much more when we've got the truth, and how when we have been so blessed, if we've got that opportunity to give that truth to somebody else, to others. Lord, who do you want to bless through me today? Second part of that statement, Lord, change my world. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. People are spiritually blinded. The people in the world cannot see what we can see, because their spiritual eyes have been blinded. But you know, Jesus came to open the eyes of the blind, didn't he? And that includes spiritual blindness. And when we get into a place of prayer and praying for the world around us, praying for the people that are in our worlds, then prayer does begin to remove spiritual blindness. There's a lot of things that influence the world, because the devil is out to destroy everything good and everything that comes from God and every bit of truth. But you know, when we pray, things change. Blindness gets removed. Barriers get knocked down. Things change. When we pray empowered, powerful prayers over our world, things happen and things change. And people are suddenly more open to the things of God because they see the change and the reality in us. When we pray, we're partnering with God, we're partnering with the Holy Spirit to change the world around us. Now, just as I draw to a close, I'm sure you're all quite chilly, I am. Just want to leave us with these few thoughts, just about prayer. You know, prayer is about two-way relationship communication with God. Those of us who've been Christians for a long time can probably look back and see our prayer life do something like this, where we have good times and dry times and times that are hard and times that are more difficult. But as we are in this season of prayer as a church, with Stir It Up, let's really push into that. Over this next week, let's really stir ourselves up in prayer. Let's really push in to God through prayer. But let's also let this, what we've been talking about, in the context of helping people find and follow Jesus, about being blessed so we can bless others. Let's let that sink in, that it begins in prayer. You know, if we want to see the world around us change, if we want to be world changers, if we want to carry the gospel of Jesus out and see the truth set people free, let's be people who are rooted and have a foundation in prayer. Let's also allow our faith to rise as we pray. As we're thinking about people, about how we can help people find and follow Jesus, let's let our faith rise because we're praying, because we're unlocking things in the spiritual places that will open the eyes of the blind. And let's pray, Lord, change me. I need you. I need to be empowered. I need to be changed. It's only going to happen if we spend time with the King. We can also be quite practical. I used to, just over the course of preparing for this morning, I was thinking back over some of my prayer times and periods of time where I wrote more when I prayed. I think, well, actually, I'm challenged to do that again because I've not done that for a while. Some of us are writers, some of us are not. But if writing in journals and things is one of your things, then, and if you're not doing that at the moment, maybe it's a Holy Spirit nudge this morning to just start writing in a prayer journal. Helps focus your mind. It helps see where God has answered your prayer. One of the things that Esther's doing this year in one of her journals, and she's a great writer. She's much better at writing than I am. I'm just not much of a writer, I guess. But one of the things that she's got a heading for is when God has answered this prayer, there's a space for her to write how he's answered it. Faith expectation. I'm expecting God to answer. Might not answer it the way you want it, but God does answer prayer. God does change. And actually, in the context of how we bless people around us, how we help people find and follow Jesus, How about writing a list of people that God has put on your heart, or people that are in your life that cross your path on a regular basis? Write a list of those people and say, God, yeah, these are the people that I have opportunity to influence, opportunity to invest time with, an opportunity to share truth with, and I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to make the foundation of what I do in my investment of time and resources into their lives. I'm going to begin in prayer for them. I'm going to pray for them. And let's just pray more with each other. It's great, isn't it, when we can pray for each other. Once a month we have first Wednesday of the month, Touching Heaven. And that is a great time to come together as church and just seek God. We don't particularly have an agenda other than we want to hear what God is saying to us. And quite often on those meetings, God will give some direction to us as church that we will go in, or he will confirm things that God is saying to us as church. And he does a lot in investing in individuals. It'd be great if we could get more people to be able to come to that, because that is a great time just to spend in God's presence. You know, we meet before meetings here. We do that because we recognize that prayer is important. We want God to do what he wants to do in our Sunday morning meetings together. And we want to focus ourselves on and hear what he is saying to us and say, God, whatever happens is yours this morning. But can I encourage you, if you happen to be around, I know it meet a bit earlier, don't feel that you can't join in. Just come and join us, because people do come, and they come and they go. It's not exclusive. Come and pray. Let's get excited about praying. Life groups, you know, life group leaders, perhaps in when you're meeting, just encourage your groups. You know, what's God really been doing over the last couple of weeks? How have you blessed others? Let's start really encouraging each other. Now, I am done now, and I'm going to wrap up. I have wrapped up. But let's just take those thoughts away with us, and perhaps we'll spend a couple of moments and just reflect on what we're going to do with that. How are we going to take that into our week? And let's just spend a couple of quiet moments with Jesus and just say, yeah, I recognize that you're giving me a prompt on this. And I recognize that I need to be more intentional with my prayer life about that. And let's not leave till we've had a conversation with God that just sets out how we're going to move forward individually with God in our prayer life. Let's be people who begin everything in prayer as the foundation and the basis of what we do.